What a great pleasure it is to be with you this morning. So grateful that we are blessed to be together in this way. God has given us many, many fantastic blessings. Among those blessings are great people who know how to do things. And we're so grateful for Patrick and John and Bill this morning as they help us with this kind of service that we are being able to be with each other in this morning. I want to think about myself for just a minute. I remember as a little guy going to elementary school, and I would go in some days, and the teacher would have the blinds pulled and have a 16-millimeter film projector set up and would start running a film. And in those films, we would see different kinds of things that would happen, action kinds of things. We would see buildings blown up. I remember looking at a picture of an airplane being shot down and just exploding in midair. And those were kind of exciting things for a kid to see. But one of the things that happened on one occasion is the teacher decided that she would rewind the film and show the rewinding of the picture as it was on the screen. And in that rewinding, it was kind of neat to see this airplane that just exploded into many, many pieces come back together as that film was rewound. Or a building that was just blown apart, it would come back together and be like it was. Isn't that sort of what we wish today? Our world has, in one sense, been blown apart. We cannot be together in this building this morning the way that we would like, and things have just come apart in some ways. There are people that are in the hospital right now that cannot be visited by family. I read about a dear friend who passed, and the problem was unbelievably difficult. The person already had experienced dementia, and the world for that person had really come apart, and for that family had come apart. And then on top of that was the virus that eventually took the person's life. And the family, in saying something about that, said, and the hardest part was we were not able to be with that person. Their lives had been blown apart. Aren't we wishing for and praying for, in a sense, for that part of our lives to be rewound? We would like to go back and have things the way that they were. Scott Peck is a very well-known psychologist, and he wrote a book that he entitled The Road Less Traveled. His first words in that book are these: life is difficult. And then he goes on to say, this is a great truth, but most of us can't see it. Instead, we moan more or less incessantly, noisily, or subtly about the enormity of our problem, as if life is supposed to be easy for us, and therefore what has happened to us has never happened to anybody else before, at least not in this excruciatingly painful or insoluble way that it has burdened us. Peck says that he wrote that not because, as a therapist, he hears his patients say that, but because he's been tempted to say that to himself. You could call it the law of exceptionalism, the idea that this has not ever happened before, or at least not to the degree that it has happened to me. Exceptionalism. He said, I liked that cartoon a long time ago showing a huge desk, a huge CEO sitting behind the desk in a huge leather chair. Standing meekly in front of the desk is a man in work clothes, obviously a lowly employee in that corporation. The worker looks up and humbly says to the boss, if it's any comfort, it's lonely at the bottom too. Isn't that the way we feel? We feel like we are at the bottom. There's a song from many years ago now that many of you will probably remember with these words: what the world needs now is love, sweet love. When I think about that, it's what the world has always needed. And that's what God has always given to us. When we think about John 3 and verse 16, that text says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we believe in him, we would not perish, but have everlasting life." If you listen to that passage, it teaches us the difficulty, the hard work of love. God loved so much that he could not withhold his only Son, the only one of a kind that could help us and deal with us in the way that we needed to be loved and the way that we needed to be dealt with. When you listen to Jeremy read this text from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you listen to that description of love, you can see how hard it is. How hard is it to be patient? How hard is it not to envy people who get things or have things that we think we ought to have, who receive honors and awards and those kinds of things that we believe should be our own? Hard not to be arrogant when we have some kind of success. It's hard not to be rude if someone steps in front of us or pulls out in front of us. It's hard to deal with love in the way that God teaches us. It's hard to not be irritable, to not be resentful. It's hard to look at other people that we think have taken our place, and when they make a mistake or do something wrong, we think that it's something that we ought to be rejoicing about. It's so hard not to do that. Sometimes the truth hurts, but love always rejoices in the truth. It's easy sometimes to rejoice in those things that are not totally honest. And when you start thinking about the things that we face in life, it is hard to bear all things, to believe all things, and to hope all things. It is so hard to believe that love never fails, that it will never end, that it will always be there when we need it. Jesus said here in John chapter 15 and verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." We read that passage over and over again, but I'm not confident that I recognize how difficult it is to love you in the way that Jesus has loved me. I'm not sure that I recognize the pain that I ought to feel sometimes in loving you. I'm not sure that I want to do the hard work that it takes to love you. But in difficult times, Jesus faced them every day in his life, just as we do. His directive to love each other just as he has loved us becomes very important. I was reading about a Bible student named Brian Matherly who studied 30 places in the New Testament where we are commanded to love each other or to love one another. And in his study, he found three things. And this morning, for just a few minutes, I want you to think about these three common themes that are there. I believe they're so applicable to us as we think about our lives today. In the midst of all that is going on in our lives today, we want to think in these three ways, I believe. First of all, I want to encourage you to think that love builds bridges. When we start thinking about building bridges, it's hard work. It's not easy to think about a bridge as the one you see in that picture. How did they get those sides to meet in the way that they did? And how does that structure stand so firm that many people, many cars or buses or trucks would pass over such a bridge over and over and over again, and yet that bridge stands firm? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul said, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing." Isn't it neat to think about those brethren there in Thessalonica building each other up, building bridges, communicating with each other in ways that build up? and help so that whatever comes in life, whatever problems, whatever disease, whatever troubles we have economically, all of those things we're going to be able to bear up under because of the bridges that are being built between us, first of all, us and the Lord, and then with those people around us that we love so very much. So when we think about building bridges, we have to think about bridges being built when love is spoken. We encourage with words. We let people know how much they mean to us. And it's important it builds that bridge, that relationship bridge that cannot be denied. When we continually express with words the confidence that we have in people, the love that we share with people, the hope that we have for people, bridges are built when love is spoken, and we need so much to encourage each other with love. Bridges are built when love serves other people. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, we're told directly serve one another. It's an obligation. It's an opportunity. It's a bridge building activity. When we are willing to take the time, the energy, the effort to serve one another. In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, Paul wrote, be kind and compassionate one to another. I remember several times in my relationship with Jan, she would need something done and I would forget to do it, or I would be busy and didn't do it. And then I would come to her later and say, boy, Jan, I sure do love you. And she has said to me several times, I don't want you telling me you love me if you're not going to be willing to help me. And that's the way life is, and that's the way life works. She doesn't want just words. She wants service. She wants me to help her. And bridges are built between a husband and a wife, between parents and children, between friends, between workers and co-workers and bosses, when love serves other people. But love must be sincere, and bridges are built when love is sincere. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. There, apparently, according to Peter, is a shallow kind of love that doesn't cover up the kinds of things that should be covered up, but would openly express those things and put people in a difficult situation. Love each other deeply and sincerely. Bridges are built when we love each other sincerely from the heart, with the kind of love that God has loved us, loving others as Jesus loved himself. But second, love bears burdens. I've just mentioned Jan wanting help sometimes, not just words that express love, but activities, service that helps bear burdens. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul said to the Galatian brethren, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to be a law keeper with the one and only Son of God, the one who died for your sins, the one who loves you so much that he would not withhold anything that you need to live with him forever. You want to be a law keeper with him? Well, you need to check your life and see if you are willing and are doing the acts and the deeds that bear the burdens of others, because that's what love does. That's what Jesus did for us. He bore the burden of our sins. And we need to bear the burdens of other people if we want to share love as he shares love. Love bears burdens when we confess our faults one to another. One of the most despiteful things that you and I see is some arrogant person who is implicitly or in some way helping us to think that if only we could be like them, the world would be a better place. We see ourselves and the good that we do in strange ways sometimes, and we don't see the flaws. That's one of the reasons Jesus in Matthew 7, in his message about judging, He said, why would you look at a speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own eye? Can you imagine a piece of sawdust compared to a big plank? That's what God is saying we do when we look at other people and we make judgments about them without thinking of proper kinds of judgment. God doesn't exclude all kinds of judging, because later in that chapter, in verse 13, we are told to see what kind of fruit people produce in their lives. And so he doesn't tell us that we can't make any judgments, but when we begin to judge in unrealistic ways, and we don't acknowledge the fact that we have difficulties, we have problems, we have sins in our own lives. Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. We need to be people who readily acknowledge to others that our lives are not perfect, that we need help, that we need God's grace, we need God's mercy. Love bears burdens when we are willing to help restore a person, but it needs to be in a spirit of gentleness. Sometimes those of us who preach may come across as harsh and hard when dealing with different types of sin, but we always need to be gentle in reaching out to people, encouraging them to do the kinds of things that are needed to be proper spiritual. I have encouraged my grandchildren in this particular problem that we have with the virus. I've begged them to stay safe. They think they're immune because they're young or because they have a certain blood type that seems to be less likely to develop the virus symptoms. But I've encouraged them to stay safe, to think what they not only are doing for themselves, but whatever they might be doing to other people. But I've also encouraged them to be healthy spiritually, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for us. And we need the restoration of people who have turned away from God. There may be people listening today who need to turn back to God. My prayer is that someone is in your life today, gently encouraging you to see the difficulties that you will face, not just in this world, but especially in the world to come. Love bears burdens when we try to engage people to live a spiritual life in the way that they should. And then love bears burdens when we are good Samaritans. We have a number of people I know, because I've talked to some of our elderly people, who have said, wow, people have been calling and asking me, can they help? And then I've talked to some of you who have said, I have been checking on and helping these people, and you name specific people that you're working with and that you're trying to help. That's exactly what God would have us to do in a difficult time like this. We need to be burden bearers, like the Good Samaritan was, giving of our time, giving of our money, giving of our love, and just being the neighbor in the way that the Good Samaritan was in helping other people and serving other people. Third, breaks down barriers. In the picture there, it's a picture of the Berlin Wall that was finally broken down. But for 50 years, that wall separated the people of Germany, and in fact was a symbol of separation throughout the world. And only when a wall, a literal wall like this, was broken down, did people come together. And now in the country of Germany, you travel and you would never realize what that wall meant and what that wall would say to people at the time that it was up and in such a difficult way, presenting problems, not just for Germany, but for the world. But love is going to break down barriers. And when we start thinking about barriers that separate us, these are some that separate us. When I am selfish, I'm going to separate myself from people. When I am not willing to forgive and I'm going to hold a grudge, I'm going to separate myself from people. When I'm willing to spread gossip and slander good names of people, I'm going to separate from people. When I'm impatient and not willing to bear with others with love and help, I'm going to separate. When I demand others to be perfect when I myself cannot even approach perfectionism, I'm going to separate myself. If I have a judgmental attitude that shows you that I think I'm right and you're wrong and you need to change to be more like me, I'm going to separate people. Love breaks down every one of those barriers, and that's what we need to be doing. Barriers are broken down when we are at peace with ourselves and with one another. It's so often that the turmoil within us creates turmoil between us and other people. And if we could satisfy the relationship that we need with ourselves, when we can see ourselves as we ought to, when we have a right relationship with ourselves, and that's going to help us have that improved relationship with other people. Mark 9 and verse 50, we're encouraged to be at peace with one another. Barriers are broken down when we are at peace with ourselves and with others. Barriers are broken down when we forgive each other. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive. There are many reasons for people to perhaps hold a grudge against me. I forgot to do something that I promised I would do. I did not get done what other people needed. I was not the good Samaritan when someone thought I should be. There are many reasons that people could hold a grudge against me and not forgive me. And one of God's directives is, if we want forgiveness from Him, we must be people that are willing to forgive others. There are no qualifications there. You forgive as God has forgiven you. And there are no sins that we are willing to confess to God and let Him know with it. We need His grace and mercy, but that we want forgiveness and He will forgive us. That's the way our forgiveness ought to be. Barriers are broken down when we don't complain, when we are cheerful, even in the face of difficulties and the problems that we have. James 5 and verse 9 says, don't grumble against each other. We need to be people of great cheer and encouragement instead of being a grumbler. The hard work of love, when we really stop and think about it, what the world needs now is what the world has always needed. But it's always hard. And that's why we have to keep saying over and over again, what the world needs now is love. Because if it were easy, the world would have love every day. Everybody would have love in their lives. Everybody would be encouraging with words, encouraging with behavior. Everybody would have a great attitude and would not be a grumbler. It's hard work to build bridges. But as you look at the screen, read those questions. Do you need to build some bridges today? Do you need to bear a burden of someone that you know you need to be bearing? Or in some of your cases, do you need to allow someone that loves you to bear your burden? Do you need to break through a barrier that has hindered a relationship? Help someone overcome those barriers that separate you and them. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, the kind of love that God came and gave to us in the person of Jesus Christ. May God bless us in difficult times as we are having now to share that love in the greatest ways that we possibly can, to encourage each other, to build bridges, to bear burdens, to help each other in the way that we should. Would you bow with me and pray? Father, thank you for loving us and caring for us. You bless our lives in so many ways. Thank you for this day, for this hour of worship, for the Bible classes that were held online earlier. We are so blessed, and we are so in need of your grace and your mercy and your love, your healing, physically and spiritually. So love us and forgive us, and continue to be with us every step of the way as we pray to you today in Jesus' name.